We welcome you to our evening service tonight in Toronto, Canada. We're happy that you have been able to join us for our evening service of worship and praise. We're going to start by singing Psalm 40, the first five verses, and they will be on, the words will be on the screen in front of you. Let's sing to the Lord's praise. Let's unite our hearts, please, in prayer. Father, as we come to this evening service tonight, and we have these precious words of Psalm 40 that we have been singing, we come tonight to say we wait upon the Lord our God. And Father, we are happy and glad to serve by waiting, to wait with expectation, to wait, Lord, that we might be receiving the blessings and benefits that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. We're thankful tonight for the cross of Calvary and for His precious shed blood, that we can approach the throne of grace on the ground of that precious shed blood and on the merit of Jesus alone. We have no other argument. There is no other plea. But it is enough that Jesus died and that He died for me. Lord, hear us tonight and help us to rejoice with all the blessings that we have received from Thy gracious hand. And Lord, I pray that there would be encouragement to the people of God tonight, that the word of the Lord would come with power and strength and blessing and encouragement to every heart. We know, Lord, that as our faces are different, so our needs are. And I pray Your hand would be upon those who are still going through times of difficulty and mourning, those who are waiting procedures in the hospital, those who are sick and set aside or elderly and more vulnerable. Father, bless them where they are. We think of those in our congregation or connected through family members that are involved in nursing or the medical field. We ask for Thy kind hand, Lord, to be upon them, to bless them, keep them safe as they've been going through more strenuous times. We know that many people have become sick not directly affected or connected with our fellowship. We know that many have become sick, and we ask, Lord, that you would bless them and help them and strengthen them at this time. We think of our brother Peter Slade tonight, and we ask, Lord, that you would bless him in this time of his weakness, and he would know the comfort and the presence of the Spirit of God with him. Lord, remember Gerald Ladds tonight in Fredericton. We pray that he will make good recovery from his surgery. Bless Tanya as well this evening. Remember our brother Sam McInally. Encourage his heart. Strengthen him. Remember Ron Blair tonight. Encourage his heart and be with him in body as his body is weak. We know that there are others who are set aside. And Lord, just help and encourage at this time. Remember us in all of our needs. Remember our congregation. Remember, Lord, as we are seeking your mind and wisdom to know when we should come back to a place of worship again in an official way. But in the meantime, Lord, bless all of our online services. Bless every time we come together to meet as a body of people for prayer. Lord, go before us. Bless our outreach. Bless our fellowship. Lord, hear our prayer tonight. We ask, Lord, that you would go before us in every way, every door that would be open. There would be the salvation of precious souls, the encouraging of those who are backsliders. Lord, that there would be a strength and encouragement for every one of thy children. And Lord, we are very mindful tonight of the persecuted church, of those around this world who are suffering for the cause of Christ. And because they bear witness of the Lord Jesus, because they would be bold enough to speak up for him, they're some in prison, some just persecuted, some churches that are being affected. We pray against every evil that comes against the body of Christ, that, Lord, you would be watchful over each one. So hear our prayers tonight and encourage us as we have come to worship tonight. We ask in Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen. Let's continue in our worship tonight, please. Number 85. Grateful praise. Let's sing to the Lord's honor. Let me ask you to turn now in your Bibles to the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 6. Deuteronomy, chapter 6. We're reading the first 15 verses in this part of our service, and then we'll be coming back to the remainder of the chapter before we bring the word tonight. Starting at verse 1 of Deuteronomy chapter 6. Now these are the commandments, the statutes and the judgments which the Lord your God commanded to teach you, that ye might do them in the land whither ye go to possess it, that thou mightest fear the Lord thy God, to keep all his statutes and his commandments which I command thee, thou and thy son and thy son's son, all the days of thy life, and that thy days may be prolonged. Hear therefore, O Israel, and observe to do it, that it may be well with thee, and that ye may increase mightily, as the Lord God of thy fathers hath promised thee, in the land that floweth with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand. They shall be as frontlets between thine eyes. And thou shalt write them upon the posts of thine house and on thy gates. And it shall be when the Lord thy God shall have brought thee into the land which he sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give thee great and goodly cities, which thou buildest not, and houses full of all good things, which thou filled not, and wells digged, which thou digged not, vineyards and olive trees, which thou planted not, when thou shalt have eaten and be full, then beware, lest thou forget the Lord, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt, from the house of bondage. Thou shalt fear the Lord thy God, and serve him, shalt swear by his name. Ye shall not go after other gods, of the gods of the people which are round about you. For the Lord thy God is a jealous God among you, lest the anger of the Lord thy God be kindled against thee and destroy thee from off the face of the earth. May God bless his own precious truth to our hearts tonight, and then once again as we turn to that later in the service. Welcome to our evening time tonight around the Word of God, and we are thankful that you've been able to tune in with us. And if you would like to receive a copy of our church bulletin, then you can email us, and we'll be sure that we can forward you and put you on that emailing list tonight. Remember, please, some of the folks in our congregation who need your prayers, the elderly, the more vulnerable, some who are sick. Remember our brother Sam McAnally, Ron Blair, and I know that others who are needing your prayers, remember them all before God. We'd ask you also to think about Gerald Ladds from Fredericton, who's come through surgery, that God's hand would be upon him as well. Let me give you an update, please, on the opening of our church for public services. We are still holding off and considering very carefully. This Lord's Day we are not meeting, and next Lord's Day as well. But we will be keeping you posted as to how we feel the Lord would be leading us in this way. The elders and deacons are keeping very close watch on this, and I would ask you to remember them in your prayers so that they will know and have exactly the mind of the Lord on this matter. Our session and board will be meeting tonight after this service at 7:30. I mentioned it at 7 o'clock this morning, but it will be actually 7:30. It will be gathered for our monthly time of prayer. And then do please be reminded for the ladies in the congregation that on Tuesday night at 7 p.m. will be the ladies' Bible study. So you'll be getting the contact information for that sometime very shortly. Let me remind you about the LTBS, the Let the Bible Speak quarterly magazine. Well, they have decided not to go to print anymore. And so you will be able, though, to receive a copy of that magazine, and you can download it for yourself. And that link will be also on our church email on our website, torontofpc.ca. And you'll be able to download a copy of that and read it for yourself. Those are all the announcements we have for you at this time. We're going to sing another hymn together to the Lord's praise, number 491, Does Jesus Care? And that is a great truth that we know He indeed does care. He cares in every time of our need. Let's sing together. Ask you to turn again, please, with me to the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 6. We'll continue reading in that chapter. Let me not be neglectful in thanking you for your faithful praying for the pulpit here in our church, that as we continue to minister the Word of God through these times, I'd be very thankful for your encouragement and for your help. You've been sending emails and texts, and they are a great blessing to me, and I greatly appreciate that. And we are trying to do our best to pray for you. And I say again that if anyone in the congregation has a specific need, then please contact me, one of the elders, or if you know someone who is sick and needs prayer, needs some help, then you please contact us and we'll do what we can. We're reading now from verse 16 of Deuteronomy chapter 6. Ye shall not tempt the Lord your God, as ye tempted him in Massah. Ye shall diligently keep the commandments of the Lord your God, and his testimonies, and his statutes, which he hath commanded thee. And thou shalt do that which is right and good in the sight of the Lord, that it may be well with thee, that thou mayest go in and possess the good land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers, to cast out all thine enemies from before thee, as the Lord hath spoken. When thy son asketh thee in time to come, saying, What mean the testimonies and the statutes and the judgments which the Lord our God hath commanded you? Then thou shalt say unto thy son, We were Pharaoh's bondmen in Egypt, and the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand. And the Lord showed signs and wonders, great and sore, upon Egypt, upon Pharaoh, and upon all his household, before our eyes. And he brought us out from thence, that he might bring us in, to give us the land which he sware unto our fathers. And the Lord commanded us to do all these statutes, to fear the Lord our God, for our good always, that he might preserve us alive, as it is at this day. And it shall be our righteousness, if we observe to do all those commandments before the Lord our God, as he hath commanded us. Join me, please, in a word of prayer. Father, as we have this word open now before us, and we come to this most important time of our service, I'm asking, Father, for the help of heaven, the necessary unction of the Spirit of God, that I may speak as the Lord's messenger in the Word of God. Let no word spoken be misunderstood. I pray, Lord, that the Holy Spirit would apply the truth to every heart. Help me to speak with clarity. Help everyone to understand. Take weariness and fatigue and distraction away from our minds, so that the word, the seed, will be planted in every heart. Lord, tonight, what about those who are unsaved? How often have we called upon thee to work and to save? So we pray again tonight that that work, that miraculous work of conversion, would happen, take place. We know, Lord, that we're not able for it. We cannot do it. It can only be done by our God. And so we ask, Lord, again tonight, have mercy upon those who are still outside of Christ. Hear this, our prayer tonight. We ask these things in Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen. There is one phrase that I want us to think about tonight in verse 24, and it says this: for our good always. for our good always. I've spoken to you in the past on this portion of Scripture, but I want to really zero in tonight on that one little phrase, because I believe it will be an encouragement and a help to us. I was struck by those words and that promise that the Lord gave in verse 19, that He would cast out all of our enemies before us. Well, that was the promise He gave to Israel. As they were going into the promised land, there were many enemies standing against the people of God. And the Lord promised that He would be faithful to His people as He gave commandments, as they would follow Him and obey. He would drive out those before Him. And were we not thinking this morning in the service about the enemies that have come into our land, our nation, and how that a land that was built upon the Word of God and that has a heritage that is based on the Scripture, the people of the Lord, as we would be faithful, leaning upon the Lord, depending on Him, resting on Him, what has He promised to us? He would promise that the enemies of God would be driven out. Believer, pray to that end. Pray specifically to the Lord to that end, that He will hinder the evil and bless the good and drive those who are against and oppose the things of God out of the land. These are important times and important prayers that we are to pray. The events of the pandemic of COVID, well, they have caused all of us to alter our habits and our behaviors. Some have had to endure much more the rigorous changes of life than others. And I think, too, specifically of those who have been laboring in the health sector, because they have been living it every day. I spoke just on Saturday to a man who works in the health area, and every day they have to go through the routine. Every day they have to go through the protocols, each day in the health ministry and what they're doing, and so it becomes a weariness. And he was speaking just about how onerous it really is, how difficult it is. And those of you who are nurses or are working there, you have to be tested every 2 weeks for the virus. And that test in itself, though I have not experienced it yet, but they say it is not a pleasant thing at all. And so many of you folks have gone through this thing, and we have said before, and sometimes in a more light way, but the world, will it ever be quite the same again? And of course, those who have contracted the illness, they have been impacted more than others. Say nothing of those that have suffered and even died because of it. We are not at the end of this situation yet. We may be a long way off. And those who have gone through the situation in a more serious manner, they perhaps have a greater insight in it. We've all gone through the restrictions. And to many of us, well, they're more like just inconveniences. We never like to wait in lineups. We never like to have to be delayed in getting what we want. But a lot of these things have set us back and helped us to rethink about some of these things which are just, well, minor inconveniences. But you know, on top of all this, the serious matters that have affected us are the normal issues of life. When I say normal, well, incidents that occur, the things of life that we have to continue with and deal with, and then those things that are unexpected twists as well. Things happen in the family. Maybe some person has become sick, and the sickness may not be considered by the health industry to be life-threatening, and so delays are put in place. People who need to have procedures done or to go to the hospital, and there are difficulties that are mounting up. And how do we know but that some have even suffered greater physical ailment and problem, even death maybe, because of those delays. You know, whether these have been major or more minor, can we, child of God, tonight remember this? Can we remember that the overarching providence of God is watching out for us? We have experienced perhaps bitter, sweet circumstances, situations, part of everyday life. We may not know their purpose in every detail yet, but one day we will know exactly what that's all about. The last verse of the hymn we just sang, "Does Jesus care when I've said goodbye to the dearest on earth to me, and my sad heart aches till it nearly breaks? Is this aught to him? Does he see?" Sometimes we can be brought to question, does the Lord see what is going on in my life? Does he understand? Well, of course, when we stop and think about it for a moment, to ask the question is a question of doubt. And I know, child of God, you know in your heart that our God sees. Of course he sees. He understands. He knows all things about me. But the devil would come to place those doubtful seeds in our heart. The Lord really doesn't care about me. And I know some of you who are going through some very, very hard times right now, and you're discouraged and you're cast down. And you wonder, why, Lord, are you allowing such a thing in my life? I don't get it. You begin to wonder, have I committed some sin? Have I done something that the Lord's angry with me, and that's why he's punishing me for the circumstances I'm going through now? Oh, believer, stop. Stop thinking like that. And come back again to who and what you know about your God. And to think back about all he has blessed you with and all he's given. And then think, when all has run out, think upon the cross. Because it is there that we will understand and get just a glimpse of how much the Lord loves us and how much Jesus does care about his people. We know, friend, of all the things that are uncertain, we know that the one who holds the future is the one who is in charge of all things. The hymn writer put it this way, "I know who holds the future, and he'll guide me with his hand. With God, things don't just happen. Everything by him is planned. So as I face tomorrow, with its problems, large and small, I'll trust the God of miracles." In other words, I will trust the God of the impossible. Give to him my all. My dear brothers and sisters in Christ tonight, in the midst of apparent uncertainties, let us rest in the truth of this. My Jesus hath done all things well. And that the Lord, he always has my best interest in his heart. He cannot be unkind to his redeemed children. C.H. Spurgeon said, "Nothing in the past, present or future can cause Jehovah to be unkind toward me." That's something that we can be thankful for tonight. The Lord has been good to us, and I want you to think with me on that little phrase, "for our good, always." Let us be encouraged by this truth tonight. and think about it in the context of this chapter that we have read, of God bringing His people to the promised land. What did He do for them? We're told in verse 23 that He delivered them. Verse 23, "And He brought us out from thence, that He might bring us in, to give us the land which He sware unto our fathers." And what does that mean? That's speaking about the fact that God delivered His people from their time of bondage. The chapter that Moses is dealing with here, that the Holy Spirit was impressing upon him, was again reminding the people about what they had been taken out of in their time in Egypt. They had been there for 430 years, and there came a day. Yes, it came upon a day that God brought them out against all obstacles and against everything that was against them. And we know that when Moses was sent by God to Pharaoh, at first he ignored him. He didn't listen. And then the Lord said to him, "You will bring these plagues upon Egypt." And as a result of that, the heart of Pharaoh would not become open and willing, but it will become harder and darker, because God will get glory upon Pharaoh and upon Egypt. Mercy comes from God. And God's grace and kindness was upon His people whom He was watching over. But those that had rejected and rebelled from the heart, as they continue on rejecting and rebelling, what happens to their heart becomes harder and harder and harder. The picture is a very clear illustration for us of being delivered, you and I, from the bondage of our own sin. For we were held in captivity as slaves of Satan and to Satan, and we were unable to do anything about it in order to escape. That is, until God stepped in. And when He stepped in, believer, tonight, through His infinite grace, He set His love upon us. And He drew us out of a fearful pit and from the miry clay. And He set our feet upon a rock, and He established our going. And He hath put a new song in our hearts. And that song is a song of thanksgiving. It's a song of worship. It is a song of praise. How? Because we have been released, delivered, forgiven. And all of this the Lord has done for His own chosen people. When no one but Christ could help, love lifted me. Have you thought yet today, friend, and given thanks to the Lord for His great, gracious, sovereign love to you? I deserve nothing of His mercy, nothing of His love. And yet tonight, we are the recipients of that love. We have received it fully and freely. And we have been released, delivered from our sin. Robert McShane wrote these words, "Chosen not for good in me, awakened up from wrath to flee." I was heading on the road to hell. I was going down to the road of a lost eternity. And the Lord grabbed hold of me. He arrested me. He pulled me back. And He has tonight, my dear friend, delivered me. Of all the things that you can thank God for tonight, the greatest is that He has delivered you from a lost eternity. We should have been in the place of the damned. We should have been in the place where all of the angels that were cast out of heaven were sent down to that place, to a pit of destruction. Our sin demanded it. Our sin deserved it. Our wickedness and our rebellion, which separated us from God, that was the true wage that we deserved. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. And friend, today and tonight, if you are in Christ by faith, that means that God the Father has delivered you. And if He has delivered you, then your sin will never be brought against you again. You cannot suffer the wrath of God for sin, because if He has placed that wrath upon His only begotten Son, then that means that you and I are released. We are delivered for our good always. That is the kindness of the Lord. Because Jesus has paid it all. It's all to Him that I owe. Sin had left a crimson, a dark stain, but He has washed it white as snow. Friend, in light of all the troubles and the annoyances of COVID, in light of all the difficulties that we have had to wade through, are they anything in light of the blessings that we have received through Calvary? Through all the blessings that we have received because we've been delivered by the Lord's unconditional grace to us? For He loved me. And He gave Himself for me, for our good, always. Can you praise Him tonight, believer? Oh, yes, you can. Can you give thanks to God tonight? Oh, yes, you better. We better give thanks to the Lord. But can we place all the issues of life, all the setbacks, all the illnesses, all the disabilities, all the problem, believer, that you are in the middle of tonight, can you place that in perspective of all that God has given to you in Christ for salvation and forgiveness of sins? He's delivered our soul from hell. Is there anything that can be put in the balance to outweigh that blessing? What shall a man give in exchange for his soul? And if God has delivered your soul from hell, then we have all eternity to praise Him. And I wonder tonight, if you're listening to this message, but you are still outside of Jesus, you're not saved. You've not come to Him. You've not asked for Him to come into your heart and to save you. You know you need to. You've heard the message before. You've heard it 1,000 times maybe. But still you're resistant. Still you're holding back. Why? What would possess you? Because, friend, you love your sin. That's why. Because you don't want to submit yourself to God. That's why. Because your heart at this moment is hard. That's why. But beware, friend, that your heart is not like that of Pharaoh. Because the more that you resist God's word, the more you resist His offer of mercy, the more you stand against Him, the more you harden your neck against Him, beware. The word of Proverbs is this: he that hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be cut off, and that without remedy. Beware, my dear friend, tonight, for you are in a fearful place. Do not resist the loving overtures of a gracious God to your soul. For God has so loved you that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. The Lord has delivered us, and for this we will praise Him. For this we will acknowledge great worship to His name. But you know what else the Lord has done for us and for His people? He has directed us into His salvation and His great blessing. You know, friend, if all, and I say it respectfully and reverently, if all that God had done for the children of Israel was to deliver them from Egypt and then leave them to themselves, it actually would have been a deliverance not worth having. You say, what? Yes, because think about it. If God had delivered the children of Israel from Egypt and Pharaoh and then set them adrift out into the wilderness, Pharaoh's chariots and army, they were coming after them before too long. And many of those would have been slaughtered in the wilderness. And he would have taken the young ones from their mothers, and he would have taken them slaves back to his kingdom. And their second part would have been worse than the first. But that's not what the Lord has done for His people then, and it's not what He has done for us. God has delivered us out of the bondage of our sin that He might bring us in to unspeakable blessings of grace and favor. He has saved us from our sin, and He has opened the storehouse of His blessings for all of His children. Because if we are found tonight in Christ Jesus, then all the blessings, all the merit, all of the inheritance that God has blessed His Son with, they are our possession tonight. Yes, He has given to us. He has blessed us, and He has richly directed our ways. The benefit of Jesus, they belong to every child of God, and there is no respect of persons with the Lord. So in other words, what He gives to one believer in justification, He gives equally to another believer in justification. We are all, every saved one of us, we are equal in the eyes of God as He looks upon us through the Lord Jesus Christ. He has brought us into the light and the liberty of the sons of God, and He has commanded us, get this, to possess our possessions. It's a command that the Lord has given to us. Believer, tonight, the Lord is saying to you, I have given you all things richly to enjoy. Are you enjoying them? Now, be careful, because that does not mean monetary blessing that's going to be great in this world. It doesn't mean all of the physical blessings that a person might wish to enjoy. But the depth of the meaning here, all of the spiritual blessings that Christ Jesus has purchased on Calvary, and all that His merit of His own righteousness has obtained for us, they belong to every child of God. The spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that is our possession. Are you living in and rejoicing in and happy in those blessings? I preach this word to myself tonight because, let's face it, every single Christian goes through times when, well, you feel cast down. The devil is pounding at your mind, your heart, your life, and you're feeling the weight of it all around you. And the tendency for us is to begin to look into ourselves, either with self-pity or thinking that we don't have it as good as the next guy has it. How come God has blessed all of them more than he has blessed us. And you look at some who have great houses or families and expenditures, and maybe you don't have the same thing. And the devil would have us think, look, how come the other one has more than you do? And we're all susceptible to think like that. But as soon as the devil plants that seed, because it's not from God's spirit, it's from the devil's spirit, when that seed comes into your mind, believer, come back to what you have received from the Lord and what he has promised to give you as his child. Whether you are young, you've been on the Christian road for a short time or a medium or a long time, rejoice in the blessings of God to you, for he has promised, I have done this for your good always. That is the kindness and the love of God to his children. I saw a very unusual sight last week as I was going from my home up to the church. Maybe I should have given it to our brother Jonathan. He could have played it through the message at this time, but not was the case. The first time I've ever seen this, at Conlins Road in Canmore, which is in our neighborhood, there was a mother duck with about 8 or 9 little ones that had not been born that long, all furry and fluffy. And they had come to the cross section, the intersection, and one car had come by, and the mother stopped. And then it's as if she knew. She crossed the intersection on the crosswalk line, I might add. And then I had to pull over. I got out with my camera, and I walked up, and I filmed them as they were walking down the sidewalk, and I don't know where they went off to. But you know, in nature, the Lord has placed within these little creatures a sense of protection and of watch care and of looking after. And I saw a similar sight yesterday of a bunch of little ones that were just born not too long, and they were all nestled together, and the mother was right beside them. And again, the Lord just points out in nature the indications of his watch care, his loving kindness. And what he has put within the animal world, so it is a picture of how our God watches over us as his little ones. And he provides for, and he takes care of. And friend, if you are in the Lord Jesus tonight, don't think that anyone else is better off than you are. In the book of Galatians chapter 3 and verse 28, it says, there is neither Jew nor Greek, neither bond nor free, neither male nor female, but ye are all one in Christ Jesus. And that word and that verse, it speaks specifically about our justification being equal in the eyes of God. Now, we all know that there are different peoples in this world. There might be different classifications as financially wise or possessions or all kinds of things. But friends, in the Lord tonight, you are blessed and you are taken care of. The Apostle Paul said to young Timothy, henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them that love his appearing. A crown awaits every saved soul. And the crown, friend, is awaiting you tonight. When will be our coronation day? We do not know. Maybe soon, maybe a bit later. But the Lord is preparing for us, for all his children. He is bringing us into his eternal glory. And we are blessed in the Lord Jesus Christ tonight. And on earth, we enjoy some of these privileges. We have right now unbroken fellowship with our God. There does not need to be any time in a believer's life when once we're saved to have unbroken fellowship. Sometimes it happens because of our own sin. We are able to worship God, our Savior, without limitation. The Lord does not say to any one of His children, "You've worshiped me enough today. That's all I have time for or all I want." No, in no way. From the time you wake up to the time you go to sleep, child of God, you are able to worship the Lord. And He wants that from us. Now, the unfortunate part is that we are very often distracted. And we're busy in the things of life, and we're taken away, and we may not worship the Lord in the way that we should, but the Lord does not put any limit on it. Are we able and are we living in the absolute peace without any anxiety or fear or worry? God does not want His children to worry. That's why in Matthew 6, He makes it very clear that we are to seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto us, because the birds don't worry about where their next meal is coming from. The flowers don't worry about how they're going to be clothed. "Oh, ye of little faith," He says, "why do you take concern about these things?" The Lord loves us with an everlasting love, and the blessings He has promised to us are great. For Jesus Christ is our great High Priest. He is the author and the finisher of our faith. And our Savior will see His seed saved and brought in. He will see us sanctified and brought on. And He will see us safe and brought home. Not one will be left out. All will be brought in, because He has done this for our good, always. And one final thing. He has done all this because He is delighted in us. Look at verse 24 again. "The Lord commanded us to do all these statutes, to fear the Lord our God for our good always, that He might preserve us alive as it is this day," because He delights in us, that He might preserve us. In a temporal, in a physical sense, we know the preserving of God upon us, but in the spiritual sense, we are preserved, we are secured, we are safe. Once we have been brought into union with the Lord Jesus Christ, He has delighted in us, we are safe and secure. And we will never lose our salvation. Friend, you did not bring yourself into Christ, and you will not take yourself out of Christ. It is God's work. And the work that He does well. And through our weak times, and through our fainting fits, and through our fearful times, remember this, that God is the one who has secured us. He is the one who delights in us. He is the one who hovers over and protects and broods. Zephaniah 3 and verse 17 says, "The Lord thy God in the midst of thee is mighty. He will save. He will rejoice over thee with joy. He will rest in His love over us. He will joy over thee with singing." Believer, dwell on that great truth tonight. A hard concept, isn't it? It's hard because we know our weaknesses, we know our failures, we know our inadequacies, we know many times that we would wish we could give more to the Lord, and we do not do it. And you think, and I think at times, God must be unhappy with me. He must be disappointed with me. He must be angry with me. But then come back to this verse of Scripture, that what the Lord has done for His people, He does it because He loves us. Do not misunderstand, though. We know that when we neglect His Word, when we neglect prayer, and we find our pleasure and our sufficiency in other things than in Him, and we grieve the Spirit of God, yes, there will be grief by a thousand falls. And yet He still says, as He does in Jeremiah 31, verse 3, "Yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee." Once God has brought us into union with Christ, and He has set His love on us, that can never, 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 never be taken away. He will keep us from falling. Jude 1, verse 24. "Now unto Him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of His glory with exceeding joy." What is it that the Lord delights in about us? You might think when you ask yourself that question, not much, because there's not much to delight in. Oh, but think again. It's not what's in our flesh that delights the Lord, but it's what is being done in us, in that we are being conformed to the image of His Son. And the more we mirror the perfections of Jesus, the more the Holy Spirit is working to sanctify us and changing us into His image. That's what delights the Lord. He delights in our obedience because He sees the elements of the obedience of Jesus, His Son, through us. He delights in our fear and our reverence for God because Jesus, His Son, feared and reverenced His Father. And when the Lord Jesus sees those, when our Father sees those elements in our life, well, He is glorified. And our likeness to Christ, of Romans 8, verse 29, "For whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son." And the Holy Spirit is working and doing that in us tonight. And so, friend, from eternity past, when we were chosen in Christ, and in time when we were redeemed by His cross work, and in our eternal home, we will know it has always been for our good. So no matter what happens, do not doubt the kindness of God. Do not doubt the love of God. Do not doubt His protective care. He cannot be unkind to us. And when things appear to be hard, when you are going through a hard providence, don't question the love of God. Don't doubt His mercy. But rather rest, believer, tonight in faith and trust Him, because He knows what He is doing. In the book of Titus, chapter 3, verse 4, it says this: "But after that the kindness and love of God our Savior toward men appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us, by the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost, which He shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified by His grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life." Can you rejoice in that tonight? Well, I say to you quite frankly, if you cannot rejoice in that, you can rejoice in nothing, because of all that He has given to us. Then praise His name. Give thanks for His loving kindness. And friend, if you're not a Christian tonight, come to Him. Repent of your sin. Call upon Him as your Savior. And you will find that He will come, He will answer your prayer, and He will save you for time and for eternity. We're going to close our service tonight by the singing of a hymn that is not in your hymn book, It's in actually an older one, but I think some of you will recognize the tune and the words that will be on your screen in front of you at this time. Let's sing to the Lord's praise. The Lord give His grace and strength, child of God, and encourage your hearts as you face this incoming week with all of its uncertainties, because we do not know what a day will bring. But our eyes and our faith and our hearts are toward Him who knows the end from the beginning. Let's close in prayer. Lord, we ask that this word would be written on every heart tonight, that you would strengthen us, encourage us, and carry us forward. And Lord, those who are going through some very debilitating times now, that your grace would be poured in abundantly to every heart. You would strengthen and bless and encourage us all. We might walk daily in the center of thy loving kindness and mercy. Part us, Lord, now in thy fear, with thy rich blessing. Cause the blessings of the Lord Jesus Christ to be poured out upon us from this time forth and even for evermore. We ask in Jesus' worthy name. Amen.